Now, every Tuesday, rain, shine, or otherwise, I hop on the 7 line, cruise down to Morton Street into the Fernandez Plaza I go, and through the double sliding doors at City Hall to the mayor's office. Well, I'm not in trouble. That's where our great friend John Hamilton, the mayor of Bloomington, is waiting for me. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, Mike. Nice to be with you and everybody.
I apologize to those revelers last weekend who were here for the greatest, the world's, not the towns, not the counties, not the states, the world's greatest college weekend. I hope they all arrived on Wednesday of last week when it was absolutely gorgeous and 82 degrees. Thursday was 85. And then, wow, what a difference 24 hours can make in this part of the world, this part of the year. And Friday it rains all afternoon. We get the women's race in. Congratulations to Melanzana. They win back-to-back. And the Cutters, Saturday afternoon, when the temperatures barely got into the 50s, they win their 15th Little 500 men's race. The 72nd running was on Saturday. And it was downright cold. I was telling the story earlier. I was in Paoli, the south, the southern part of the state, and I've got some hail bouncing off me at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Oh, my goodness. So I'm going to guess, and you'll help me out with this, I'm going to guess that the shift in weather might have helped shift some decision-making. And how was the weekend since I was gone all week? I figured I would ask you.
Well, thanks. We were very pleased that overall we had a safe weekend. There's always, you know, little things that happen, but I didn't get texts in the middle of the night. We had no shootings that I'm aware of at all, which we did have last year, you may recall.
Right.
And it was a much better weekend from the perspective of people not hurting each other, which is a key thing. I hate to say it, but we kind of sign up for that weather. We like that weather in that regard. Now, bicyclists like chilly weather, too, you know, for the race. I think the bicyclists were very comfortable, except for the rain on Friday and the wind on Saturday.
Yeah, that's the hard part, usually, when you don't have weather that agrees with you. It has something to do with either the rain or the wind. But we know the warmer it is, the nicer it is, more people tend to gather. And when more people tend to gather, just the mathematical equation, that's what it is, isn't it? It's not an expectation. You know, you don't have the riot gear out and the Bearcat and everything. You don't have that expectation. But I think we all understand from our experience, when you get more people together, you have a greater chance of things happening.
That's true, and it also depends on what their mood is, you know. if their mood is celebratory and party, we can see a lot of different behaviors. I went to both races this year. I don't always
Excellent.
Do that. And it was great. The crowds were large and enthusiastic, despite any weather issues, and the women's race, you know, got delayed an hour because of the rain, but then they were able to run it full, and there were, I think also the races were pretty safe. I don't think there were real serious accidents. I know there may have been one or two, but
that's like the old joke when you go to a baseball game and a guy gets hit by a pitch and you say, oh, that doesn't hurt. Well,
yeah.
It does for that guy, but you're right.
It does for that guy.
But you're right. No ambulance, no front page news,
right.
No national here's what happened. Because last year there was some gunfire downtown, and any big event we can have, Mayor Hamilton, I agree, if that isn't on the menu, boy, that is positive. We know that the public safety officers all no one's getting that weekend off.
They did a great job, and there were a lot of them. They were busy. I know I was talking to one guy who had his shift till 4 a.m., and then he had to get up early the next morning and keep at it. And they did a great job, IU and city police and county and others, you know, working all together. Now, I should also mention on Saturday, in between those two races, there were a couple other cool things going on, because we had I think for 40 years or so, we've been having the Environmental Commission, and we've had the Eco Heroes Arts presentation downtown. It was in City Hall, and we celebrated on Earth Day. Of course, that was Earth Day. We celebrated some wonderful artists from age kindergarten to senior citizen.
Oh, very good.
And it was really cool. And then right after that, we had the Switchyard Park Bike to Earth Day event with a whole bunch of booths and electric vehicles. Bunch of owners of electric vehicles brought them in, like showing off their favorite baked pie or something, you know, lined up to say, look at my vehicle. And bikes and a bunch of different folks talking about what we... And we even had an IU basketball player there to help spread the word. And these are some of those who do name, image, likeness.
Yeah.
Anthony Leal was
there. You
there,
go.
So that was fun. Yeah.
Bloomington's finest. Anthony,
yes, sir.
Leal, Bloomington's
exactly.
own. That was the first edition of the Earth Day with the demonstrations of electric vehicles and bikes and scooters and all. You had all kinds of things down there. I really apologize. I gave you a terrible day, because usually the third weekend in April, you think, okay, this is going to be great. But the flexibility of Switchyard Park, everybody hears Switchyard Park, and or maybe they think Bryant Park, where there's really not a indoor place to gather, but there is at Switchyard. That's part of the brilliance of that design. You can use it 365 days a year.
Yeah, the pavilion was hopping. They had a band, and you're right. So booths that were going to be outdoors, some of them moved inside because of wind or chill and all, but others stayed outside. But it's really flexible, so that was great. Food trucks were there, and fun time was had by all.
And that's fantastic, and we'll do it again next year, because you can't have you got to have a first annual before you have a second annual. So that is great news. Now, last weekend was the kickoff of busy season here in a 3-week run for Bloomington, Monroe County, Indiana University. We know that this weekend is quote unquote dead week. You're wrapping up projects and group projects and papers and all the things that go along with that. We'll take a slight deep breath. We'll welcome May next week. And boy, oh boy, I'll start with the graduation, and then we'll work our way back. Friday and Saturday, we will have plenty of folks in our fair town. And that's going to mean, just like last weekend, keeping our head on a swivel to pay attention as the class of 2023 will bid adieu to Bloomington.
Yeah. It's a wonderful annual ritual, and it's fun to see all the happy families gathering and U-Hauls being filled. You know, the roads get a little complicated sometimes. As you remember, you know, when you had to graduate and move out in a 24-hour period.
And the bypass was 2 lanes, and 37
right.
had 4. Yeah, right, yeah.
Right. But let's hope for good weather, and it's always an exciting weekend and fun to see families. And you know, all those people who graduate, we like to think they spread out to lots of different places, but then they come back to Bloomington. They're future bloomerangers, you know. So,
and they tell our story wherever they go, and hopefully they've had a positive experience and coming in to deal with that. Where does that rate? It's a different kind of busy for your public safety officers. Is that more of the celebratory that you were talking about there just a couple of minutes ago, where there's going to be people having a good time, but it's not perhaps it's a different good time?
I wonder, you know, maybe it's maybe when all your parents are in town, you're a little different than when they're not. I don't know, maybe. But
I always feel like somebody's watching me, I believe the song goes.
We certainly collaborate and coordinate a lot with IU, because there are a lot of things going on. We want to make sure everybody has a safe weekend. But it is a little different experience when there's so many family members here in town, too. Our public works people are pretty busy with all the roads and having to deal with move in and move out things, but it's a wonderful weekend, don't try to get a reservation. You know, it'll be difficult if you're trying to eat down on Kirkwood.
Well, you can try, but you might not.
Try.
Don't eat at the times everybody else is hungry. That's the best advice I can always give
there
to folks. Yeah, don't. If you want to eat at 7 o'clock, that's you and everybody else does. So you might want to change it up, or just have a nice party and go last. Be the last people in. That's a great way to do it. Hey, I noticed last Friday we put all the orange barricades from 6th Street all the way up to 9th Street.
Yeah.
What's the feedback on that? Is that something that you do because the business owners want it done? This is different than the parklets and everything else. This is for safety reasons. Explain that to our listeners, please.
You're right. And we've been doing it for a few years, I think. It is basically to protect pedestrians and safety during the period when otherwise we find people kind of just careening across streets as pedestrians in ways that are dangerous. So they're really meant to be helping contain the movement of pedestrians between bars, between establishments where we've seen problems in the past. So, you know, you and I have talked about how you just kind of have to stay fast on your feet and see where their problems are, where things are working and where they aren't. And this is an area where I think we feel like this does help control what can otherwise be some kind of dangerous behaviors in people across a street that doesn't have a stoplight right there.
You know? Yeah, and the other we've also seen this with Indiana University by the stadiums. They have the I don't know what to call them, the cattle fencing up on football days, so people just don't decide to, I'm going to go across the street right now. You've got a better chance of helping people make better decisions when the decision is a little bit made for them. But we're never going to shut it down to vehicular traffic, so we just want to keep the people out of the traffic lanes. And that's how did your stop sign at 7th and Dunn, how did it graduate its first big event this weekend?
Yeah. Well, they did okay. As you know, we put that one stop sign in, we took five out and put one back after a year plus of experience. I think it did pretty well. I am sorry to report that we did have an accident yesterday even with the stop sign.
Yesterday was Monday. That's out of the weekend.
Yeah, I think it was yesterday. It may have been Sunday. But anyway, somebody didn't stop going east and west on 7th till too late, and they banged into a car. And but we'll keep track of that. We'll just keep the stats and see what happens. You know, you'd also reminded me that the College Walnut study is going to be kicking off in a formal way in June, but you can, I believe, sign up for a tour if you want to do a walk College and Walnut with our planning staff before the big public meetings start in June about the corridor and looking at the corridor and understanding some of the dynamics there. We welcome a stroll and study kind of event, so check that out on our website, and our planning staff would be happy to do that with you.
I like that. I like that. I like that. Then you could literally know what's going on and have an educated opinion. Well, it's more fun to scream in the middle of the night and bark at the moon, isn't it? Well, if you want to do that, you can. And you want everyone to be aware that the formal scientific survey part for the community survey is done, but there are spots for the non-scientific part where people in Bloomington can make their voices heard. Tell me all about it.
Mike, that was, I just have to honor that transition from screaming at the moon into the survey. That was really good. Actually, the formal survey is still open for those who got mailed the survey, and we really encourage any of your listeners, anybody who's on who did get the direct mailer, please fill that out. That's really helpful on our formal kind of official scientific survey. And, as you said, the open door, anybody take the survey, is running, I think, till next Monday also. And anybody, we welcome. We've had hundreds, I heard already a report, we've had hundreds of responses from that. And we welcome as many as people want to share and do your version of you know, giving us feedback through that way. We love it. So please take a look. If you got it mailed to you, please fill it out. If you didn't, you can come on our city website and download it or do it online and fill us out the survey and tell us what you think, what you like, what you don't like, what do you want to see change, what do you want to stay the same, whatever.
And then you will pass it along to the next mayor.
I will. I'll look at it first.
Right.
It'll affect our budget this year, so that's important.
There's the magic word.
Coming up in a couple months.
The magic B word. Well, I said we'd work back from graduation for next week, and next week is hugely busy because 1 week from today, we will have a really, 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 really good idea who the next mayor of Bloomington will be. That's everybody I've talked to, whether it's been Eric Spoonmore or Marty Hawk, has thrown out the numbers, and the numbers suggest the May primary is going to decide a lot of these races. Early voting is open through the rest of this work week until 6 p.m., 302 South Walnut Avenue. Saturday, 9 to 4, there's only one place you can vote early. It's 302 South Walnut. Next Monday, 8 to noon, and then a week from today, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., the big difference, for those of you who are new to this, you must vote in your precinct. So what do you do on election day since you're not campaigning? When was the last time you didn't campaign? Oh, my gosh.
It's been a little while, and I'll enjoy it. It is a city holiday so that we can all help participate. I may be doing some things at the polls. We'll see. I'm not an official poll watcher, but I may.
What can or can't you do as mayor? Do you have a list
you
of things?
You can do anything. You know, if you're on the ballot, you cannot be official poll watcher or any of those things. But I'm not on the ballot, so I could do that. I can volunteer at the polls or help people turn people out to the vote. You know, drive people to the polls, and I'll probably get involved in that because I like helping that happen. And as you said, there's a three-way mayor's race, really energetic, and I think I don't know who's going to win. I really don't. We don't see polling data, and it's hard to know. So, what my uncle used to say is run like you're 15 votes behind. So I think all three of them are. You know, and then the city council too. There's a whole bunch of serious races going on there. It's going to be an exciting day, and I'll hope to talk to you in the middle of that. We won't really know anything in the middle of the afternoon that day, but by the end of the evening, we probably will.
And the polls obviously will close at 6 o'clock, and those who handle the election suggesting everything goes swimmingly. Have you heard anything on turnout that either surprises you, doesn't surprise you, or is newsworthy?
I guess I've heard the turnout's a little up from 2019, the last municipal primary, but it's hard to know exactly what that means, whether that's just early voting numbers.
Sure.
I think part of it is more of us are getting used to voting early also.
Yeah, is that a clue or not a clue?
I really don't know. Yeah, it's hard to tell, and I'm just patient to wait till we find out, you know. But it's an exciting time, and again, it is really important that people, if you're registered to vote, please get out and vote.
And obviously, a huge primary because of the way things are. We'll talk about more how things are as your term wraps up, as you and I roll through the months here of 2023. I'm not going to get into that today because it's too busy. Why is there a city council meeting tonight, and why are some folks on the old the internet I've been reading not real thrilled with how perhaps procedurally how everything has come together? This, can you shed some light on it? Because it's Tuesday, and some things are different, including meeting place, public comment, day of the week.
Sure.
Yeah, help me out, please.
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing this many, many years, but what we're doing is anytime five or more city council members get together, it's a city council meeting, whether it's at the state of the city, you know, as you know, that's a city council meeting, or any place to receive or share information. And this is the first formal event of the budget process for 2024. And we have a couple different events, and the city council has encouraged this, and we welcome it, which is to have the council members share their views of the budget before we kind of really sharpen our pencils and get into it. We don't have the new data from the state about income expected or forecast for 2024, local revenue, really. We'll get that in July and August. But this lets the city council hold a meeting and share that information. We always do it outside of their regular city council business because it's an extra meeting. It's an additional kind of event. So it's typically not done on their city council nights, which they need to hold for the regular city council business. That's why it's happening Tuesday, and we worked it out a couple months ago. It's a meeting for the council members to share with me and other members of our administration what they want to see in the budget. So it's helpful for us. And it'll be a couple hours, 6 o'clock tonight. I believe it's in City Hall. I believe it's in the McCloskey Room.
Correct.
Downstairs, first floor. Public is welcome to attend. It'll also be recorded on CATS if people want to see that. But this is basically the nine council members, each in turn, sharing their perception of priorities about what they want to see.
Doing so on the record, correct? Isn't that the most important part of this?
It's on the record. Now, I will say the challenge is often it's, here's the new things I want, but it's not always, here's the things I want you to stop doing so you can pay for these new things.
Right.
But that's okay. We work together, and it's helpful to hear that. And if a whole bunch of them say the same thing, then that's helpful for us to hear, you know, where their view is.
Are they required to participate, or is this something they look forward to doing?
Well, I think they do look forward to it. We have a much more extensive and public budget process than almost any city in Indiana, I think, because, you know, all of this is above and beyond what is typical and required under state law. Our week-long four nights in August are unusual. I don't know if any other city does it like that with such extensive presentations. And this is just part, but, you know, this, I often say the budget's the most important document we do, the policy
Absolutely.
Document. And so I think it's good. And it's complicated. So we look forward to hearing from folks. I'll be taking good notes tonight between 6 and 8 p.m.
Now, when we talk about putting this budget together for 2024, you're obviously not going to be in charge. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Mayor Hamilton, for those of you just listening, is not running for office. Welcome to the party. But how do you try to shape next year's budget, even know that you won't be there to administer it?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of what happens in at state government, at federal government. The budgets are on a certain cycle. When I came into office in January of 2016, I inherited a budget that had been produced and developed by the council and the mayor before me, and I execute that budget and start work on my own budget for the next 6 months, you know. So that's kind of the rhythm, and this council and this mayor will be doing our fourth budget together, and we will hand that off to the next council and the next mayor. They can't do their own coming into office. That's not practical, really.
Right.
But each of us gets to do, I guess, kind of one more out the door, you know, to kind of leave the room set and leave the table set and let the next person come in, and then they'll be able to do the next transition when their turn is, too.
And having the budget ideas floated by the council tonight, 5:30, the McCloskey Room.
6 o'clock.
Oh, I thought it was. Oh, is it 6 o'clock? Okay, I thought I read something. I don't know where I got 5:30 from. I apologize. Now I just lost my great train of thought. You're going to have the council's input tonight. When will your input start? You're going to digest what they tell you, and I know that doesn't perhaps switch or move or rearrange things, but when will we hear from you your ideas for the budget? Well, of course, on this program, but when exactly will that be?
Well, it's a really long process. You know, we have a lot of iteration inside among the departments and my office and the controller's office and back and forth. We have a lot with the council members individually as we go. That we'll have another kind of budget discussion in June. Then my job is really to take all of that input, all of from internal and external, and assemble a balanced budget, which I need to then deliver to council, which we'll do in August. We present the proposed budget in August. There's 100 conversations in between now and then, but ultimately you have to do the really hard work of sharpening your pencil and making sure that, you know, if you have 26 wants, but you can only do 12 of them, how much do you do? How do you make that come together in a balanced budget? And that's a really difficult process. We work closely with each department and with council members to try to understand their interests. And then we present it in August, and then it goes in front of the council typically for votes in September.
And is the August deadline, is that the right word? Is that state, city? Who determines that?
Yeah, the August is really a kind of a local procedure that we do to share that proposed budget with the council. And then we actually file it.
Mayor Hamilton has hung up on me. That's the first time for that. And I didn't even say anything naughty. Technological difficulties. That always happens, folks. We have some problems with that sometimes. But Mayor Hamilton, hopefully will call back. And if he doesn't, I completely understand. And we will move on with the old program. So tonight, the council will make their voices heard on what they think should happen. And Mayor Hamilton is back with us. Welcome back.
Sorry, something I said? I don't know what happened. I just went with cell phone in case I needed it. But anyway, well, we were just talking about the process, but the state has very formal posting. You have to post it in the newspaper. You have to have very specific publication, and that really happens in September, October, and there's a deadline to get them the final numbers after city council action in October, I believe.
Yeah, and it's to ensure transparency and not backroom dealings and other things that we've learned over history that just isn't best for the public. And sometimes we forget that's who this really is for. It's for the citizens of Bloomington here in Monroe County. And speaking of, one last thing to throw at you. See, this is why we have to get together every Tuesday. Could you imagine if we did this once a month? It would be 5 hours in a good way, but there's too many things going on. I saw on the City of Bloomington's Facebook page that there is a post about annexation and perhaps some misconceptions. We're what, 3 or 4 years into this? Meaning the community, is still unclear of what exactly is going on with this. That has to be a little disappointing, I would think.
Oh, it's just complicated. And I know everybody's busy. They want things to work out generally. And it's kind of inside baseball in a way. But we do find people in public or on social media saying things that just aren't accurate. And we just want to try to make clear what the facts are as best we can share them. We can frequently ask questions. And it's come up a bit in the last, few weeks and months. And it is it's an important issue. You know, I've talked about it a whole bunch, I continue to think we need to keep changing our borders as we have for 180 years, but haven't for the last 20 years. So we just want to make sure people have information. And if there are questions or concerns, we welcome people to weigh in with those too.
Well, you've got a very captive audience right now. What do you think is the biggest misconception that you, being the city, is trying to make people aware of?
Well, I guess let's do a couple things just really basically. Cities in Indiana and across the country gradually and steadily change their borders. Otherwise, we would have a city, four square blocks that was founded in 1818. And as we build out and as we urbanize, it's a very natural process to do that. The second thing I'd say is that in Indiana, the typical way that has happened is sewers are provided to developing areas outside a city in exchange for those areas. Say, if you'll give me city sewers, I'll agree to be part of the city when you move the boundaries. You need sewers to build in a dense way. You can't use septic tanks if you're going to build an urban neighborhood very safely. And that process has happened. And the thing that's happened over the last 20 years is the state legislature changed the rule and said, even though you agreed to be part of the city, we're going to say you don't have to be part of the city if you don't want to be part of it. And that's kind of the problem going on right now. And I guess the third point I'd make that I think is a misunderstanding is if we don't keep growing the borders with the already agreed upon areas, the areas that have already been intended for annexation, you can't even do voluntary annexation, because you'd have to leapfrog over the inner non-city areas to get to the new city areas that want to be part of the city, but you're not allowed to if you're not contiguous. So
there you go.
This is a very steady process. We need to keep doing it for a healthy city, or you become imbalanced and not sustainable. And second, the typical process has been in exchange for sewers, you agree to be part of the city, and that's kind of been disrupted. But it's really important to fix it.
Well, there you have it, folks. And again, you can find more information at the city's website, bloomington.in.gov. And next Tuesday will be a very busy day. I'm excited to hear where you're going to be. You could be my man on the street, getting me the the live feel of how things are happening, or who knows?
But we'll see.
I'm excited.
Pop in your studio sometime. I got to get there. But
come on,
we'll talk. Next Tuesday. I'll look forward to it.
Yeah, and thank you for the heads up, too. As I said, I will alert housekeeping, and we will make sure that we'll make sure we're
no
on
surprises.
It.
No surprises.
Stay warm at the market. This Saturday is going to be okay, 68. That's going to be nice. But, we're going to work on the forecast as well. All right, have a great Tuesday. Thank you for your time and information, as always.
Thanks, Mike, and you and everybody have a good week ahead.